Hey, this is Pastor Mark. You do not want to miss this week's podcast. You're going to laugh till you cry, but it's good tears. They're good tears. So, man, tune in, listen to this podcast. It's going to inspire you, encourage you, and prayerfully help bring change that you desire in your life. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
Good morning. Wow. Stand up, if you would, please. Welcome all of you watching online. Today's the day the Lord has made. Bible says we rejoice and be glad in it. And rejoice is a choice. Don't forget that, all right? Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what the Bible says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. And I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same again. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, excuse me. In the seat that you're sitting in, there was a card that you sat on or you're sitting on right now, or some of you picked it up. These are for the purpose of you inviting people to Easter service, Resurrection Sunday, 2 weeks from today. And if you need more of these, there are some in the lobby at the information kiosk. Stop by and get them. Please don't, just throw them away, okay? They really will help you invite people. People are looking for a place to worship. They're looking for kind people. Hopefully, you're a kind person. And don't give them to a server if you don't tip. It's just not right. Yeah, I'm invited to First Church of the Chintzy. Whatever, so we don't want to do that. Doing a series, as you can see up here, Ways to Live a Blessed Life. Well, before I tell you next week the avenues to a blessed life, I first wanted to share with you the obstacles to a blessed life. Because unless you know what your enemy is, notice I said what, not who, you know what your enemy is, there's a really good chance you'll never get to the blessing. One of the greatest enemies that we face is a mindset that God could not possibly want to bless someone like me. That is an obstacle to the blessing of God, believing the wrong thing. And that first week I taught on this was that you're looking at your past or what's behind you. And so when you look at what's behind you, the things you've done wrong, the sins you've committed, and all of those things, you won't even look to be blessed. You'll just say, forget it, I just want to survive. And so I addressed that the first week, and then last week I addressed it by saying what's before you. In other words, what are the obstacles that you're facing immediately in front of you? I lost my job, I lost my family, I lost. And losses will always try to hang on to us, and they always will. Now, the choice that we have is that we don't have to hang on to the loss. But the loss will always try to hang on to us, which becomes an obstacle to get the blessing of God. When he told Abraham, he said, I will bless you to become a blessing. We know that Abraham and Sarah both lied when they were trying to get to the promise of God and get to the blessing of God. He said, this is my sister. She said, I'm old. We're too old. I mean, all these things that we'd lost time. Our time is over. And sometimes we measure what God can do or will do based on our season in life. But we see in the Bible time and again that even the older, like Caleb, got blessed. He said, I'm as strong now as I was then when he was 45. He's 85. Give me the land. And so we have to let go of things in order to grab hold of things. And so today I'm going to talk about the obstacle of what's beyond us. And, you know, what's before us is that immediate thing, that now thing. But what is beyond us is something that is strictly a vision, a dream that we have to hang on to. For over 40 years, what was beyond Israel was this promise of God that there would be a land flowing with milk and honey. And that was so far beyond comprehension. They had been enslaved by Egypt, and they had looked at the reason they were in Egypt, that which was behind them, and then finally they get bailed out. And now what's before them are armies and obstacles of that nature every day. They had to wake up and believe for food. That what's before us, well, we hope we're going to have a meal. But now you have to look what's beyond us. Then, in other words, there's no way I can achieve or attain the blessing without the assistance of the Holy Spirit. And it's a challenge when you start saying, man, that's just so far out. Our family is never going to be blessed. As a matter of fact, if I'm blessed, it'll be just a little more than the previous generation. And we start measuring our upbringing, our heritage, and all those things instead of measuring everything against the Word of God. And the Word of God is as alive in a 100-year-old today as it is a 20-year-old. There's some older people over here. But no, we have to see this, because every now and then I'm tempted to look in the mirror and think, you know, my best days are past. And then the Holy Spirit says, no, your best days are ahead. Why? You're smarter now. You're not near as stupid as you used to be. And you know, you know some things you didn't know. I don't know if y'all have conversations with yourself or not, but I'm sure you do, but you're not going to talk about it, you know. And so, but we have those conversations, in Numbers chapter 13, it says they came back to Moses and Aaron, the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them, to the whole assembly, showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. Now, you have to understand, this all started out really, really well. The 12 spies, one from each tribe, went into the promised land, snuck in, brought fruit back. Now, why did they do that? Because finally they wanted Israel to see what had been beyond them is now in front of them, but they're still having, just not just because of location, but mentally they're having to say, this is now within our grasp. We're right there. We should be able to do this. It's no longer out of sight. God brought them to this place that was at one time way beyond their imagination. For instance, if you grew up in a family that rented a home, never owned a home, owning a home for you, it may be beyond you. It's not even something. You're dreaming that you could rent a house like your mom and dad. I'm not minimizing the wonderful provision of shelter that God gives, but I'm saying just there are certain things in our lives that we dream about, but we never talk about, we never confess the Word of God over those things because they're so far beyond. On us. When I was younger, first coming into the Christianity, and this was a part of my family, and hopefully I don't offend anyone when I say this because you may be there too, but I used to hear the words, we can't afford that. And really, as I grew in God, I realized what I was saying is, God, you're not big enough to provide that. It's really what I was saying. He said, well, there are just things we can't afford. You may not be able to afford them today, and they're so far beyond you, but if you'll keep moving toward them, the promise will come to pass. But we have to declare, and we have to move, we have to believe, we have to quit saying things that negate the truth of God's Word. And so I want you to get this, because walking in the blessing of God doesn't come without the resistance of Satan. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so, you know, you've been trying something for 10 years or 15 years, however long it might be, and you say, yeah, I'm just done. I'm going to quit trying. Why? You're alive. Why quit trying? Well, it may never happen. I'm tired of being disappointed. If you stay focused on God, you will never be disappointed. If I die without certain things I've declared, I have no loss. There's no loss in believing in what's beyond us. Your best days are ahead. And some of you say, well, no, my best days are behind. You may be more crinkled and wrinkled than before, but you still have a heart. So they bring this fruit to prove what we have thought was beyond us is now before us, and this that is before us is a good thing. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But people who live there, now here's where it twists, but people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. So all of a sudden, what was beyond them is before them, but now what's before them physically and visibly before them and the people begins to distract them from thinking, now I can have it. Listen, you're never done until you're done. And so here they are looking at fruit and listening to voices of doubt. This is what happens. The minute God shows you what he can do, somebody comes along and says, but. To which you need to say, but out. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. So they're giving this geography lesson about where everything is. In other words, the entire land is covered with powerful people. And the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Now, in verse 33, it continues on. And we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come from Nephilim, and we were in our own sight like as grasshoppers. And then this is what I love. And we were in their sight as grasshoppers. Now, I want to go, do you work for CNN, and did you go interview them? And ask the question, what do we look like to you? And all of a sudden, these people out of nowhere, the Canaanites and Hittites and termites and everything, says, well, you know, to us, you kind of look like grasshoppers. They didn't do that. See, a lot of times, the reason that we never get to something is we put words in other people's mouths that they never said. In other words, we want to convince ourselves that we shouldn't really work that hard. It's out of reach. Now, these are people that crossed the Red Sea, crossed the Jordan at flood stage. So the very first thing that we have to encounter in this particular, what's beyond us, are the giants. Everybody has a giant in their life. Let's just call it a Goliath. Interesting to me that the army of God saw this huge man standing before them, and the Bible says he was taunting the armies of God. So their visual was Goliath. They could not see beyond them for what was before them. But then all of a sudden, this little shepherd boy comes and says, who is this that he would taunt the armies of the living God? What was different? David saw beyond, they saw before. They're looking at a giant, David's looking at a promise. And what happens is there will always be obstacles to get in front of you to keep you from the land of your bliss, the place of God's promise. And you can say, well, I lack an education. I don't have enough hours. I don't have enough this. These become giants. And the more you talk about them, the bigger they get. The more believable they become. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so if we're not careful, we don't have a giant initially. You notice David didn't go, wow, he's a big dude. You know, I've killed lions and I've killed bears, but this guy's even bigger than a lion and a bear. And I promise you, the Israelites are looking at him and his brothers are even criticizing. Let me tell you, the closest to you get jealous of you. Yeah, if you grow up with a family, there'll be at least one or two that will talk about your past and not talk to you about your future. They will tell you everything you've done and everything you've not done. They'll remind you that you're the littlest, the youngest, the worst, the ugliest, whatever it might be. And that will become a giant in your life, that you will begin to believe what they say instead of what God says. David didn't, look around and say, hey, I need to develop a committee. We need to create a strategy. Can you all tell me or help me beat this giant? He knew that not one person in that camp had any courage, or they would have done what he was about to do. They were looking, and with every day that passed and every day that Goliath came out and taunted them, he got bigger in their eyes. Even King Saul, who the Bible says when he was appointed king was head and shoulders taller and bigger than anybody else, he even cowered. And then he tries to put on David what was on him. And because Saul was so big, the armor that he fought with didn't fit David. As a matter of fact, had David put on Saul, he would be dead. But David said, I believe that I can take this giant. Not only that, he goes out and tells him, I'm going to cut your head off and feed it to the birds of the air. Can you imagine? I mean, Goliath had never been talked to like this before. He had never heard words like this. He was a giant. And David looked at him and said, you know what? You're just standing between me and a promise of God. That's all you are, is you are an obstacle. I can take you out, and I'm going to take you out. And he had five stones, and some people say it's because Goliath had brothers. I don't know. But David thought, well, I got five, but I only need one. I think it was because David needed to add some weight to his little self. Maybe your giant is a lack of education. Maybe your giant is you've always thought other people were smarter than you and better than you and more equipped than you. And those are all giants. Well, I'm the baby. I'm the youngest. I'm this. I'm that. And all of a sudden, every time you say, I could never do that. What you've done is you've created a giant. And every time you can say, I could never do that, the giant gets bigger. I didn't go back to college until I was 24 years old. 28 cousins, only two of them had college degrees. And honestly, at 24, here's what in my mind, I said, I'm too old. I missed a chance. I'm 24. I thought, I can't go back to college. I'm just old. And I was an old dude around 18-year-olds. I mean, I was sitting in class, and, you know, some of them's voice still hadn't changed yet. And every now and then, it kind of bothered me because they were kids. I had already graduated, held a job. I'd made my own way. And now I'm sitting here among kids who had never been away from home more than a weekend, and now they're off to college. Could have been a giant. And there were days it tried to be a giant. Why? Because whatever I declared made it larger than it really was. I'm in debt. We'll never get out of debt. Hear these words. It'll never happen. We're not going to make it. It just is what it is. When you talk like that, what you're really saying is, and please, I hope I can say this without ramification, God, you're a liar. So how could I be saying that? Well, he said, I'll meet every need you have according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He'll meet every need. So when I say it's not going to happen, what I'm really saying is, God, I don't want to be disciplined enough to obey you so that it will happen. You see, David had to throw a rock. He didn't just say, be thou fallen, Goliath. It'd be great if that's all you had to do. In your case, it would get up and go to work on time. I'm going to meddle a moment. I grew up in a home where if you're 5 minutes early, my dad said you're late. Don't elbow your wife right now. You'll pay a dear price. That will be a giant. Now, again, I know what giants are in my life. I know what giants confront me regularly. Do you know what your giants are? See, that this is important that you know so that you can say, you know what, that giant's getting ready to get smaller. I'm done talking about it. I'm done giving worth to it or worship to it. I'm finished. When you say things like, I could never do this, you're creating a giant. Second obstacle under this particular category of what's beyond you is you grumble. Now, none of you, but I'm sure there's some people at 11 o'clock that do. This is one of those messages that changed yesterday, so pardon me. You grumble. In Numbers 14, and this is one of my favorites, see, giants are what's seen with our eyes. Grumbling is what we hear with our ears. There will always be people that will support your giant and feed your giant. They're called grumblers. They will complain about everything. They'll whine about all things. The minute you come up with something positive, they'll come up with two negatives. They're gifted. Well, let me give you five reasons that'll never happen. You see, I don't need to compare numbers. It's not numerical. I can give you one reason it will. God said. You can give me 10 reasons you think it won't. I'll give you one that I think it will. God said. Whatsoever things you ask in my name, I'll do it that the Father would be glorified in the Son. I got scripture to back it up. Now, I'm not controlling the world, but I am going to control my mouth. And if you can control your mouth, you don't have to worry about controlling the world. Life and death is in the power of what wiggles below your nose. And if we could get this, our lives would change. When I first cut my teeth on understanding the power of God's word, I was working for a church of 15,000, had a youth group of 1,000. And if you didn't feel well, you didn't call in sick. The most extreme thing you could do was call in challenged. I'm calling in healed. Immediately they knew he's not feeling well, but he's declaring he's healed. Now, this is weird for some of you, especially if you came from Church of Christ, Nazarene, Methodist, Baptist, Assembly of God, just about anywhere you came from. We didn't talk about what we said, and we didn't even talk about what God said. We just talked about something we thought. We created this own thing, our interpretation, instead of saying there's one thing for sure, that if I agree with God, good things can happen. If I disagree with God, what I'm saying is, God, I'm leaving you out. I don't believe what you said. Now, we don't talk this harshly, but I do. Because it is so critical that we understand that I can pray certain things, but if I pray in agreement with God's word, I release the power of that word. It says, Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? Notice he didn't say how long will they just grumble, but how long will they grumble against me? Now, we know God wasn't physically there, but he's taking this upon himself to say, they're discounting the promise I made. They're saying it can happen. Why are we struggling? Why are all these people there in the land that we're supposed to possess? He said, I've heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites, so tell them. Now listen to this. This is critical. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. Everything I heard you say. Why? Because what I'm hearing you say is different than what I say. But if you say that, and that's what you believe, then you shall have what you say. Words matter. People grumble. Why didn't you give me that job? Why didn't I get that position? Go change your diaper. Because that's what babies do. And then you grumble, which will be the next point I'll get to in a moment. You grumble in front of other people. And see, that's what was happening when the 12 spies came back from the 12 tribes. Is they were really grumbling about all the giants in the land and grumbling that they would have to overtake them, and that's just not possible. Before Caleb silenced them, they're grumbling. And when you get around people who grumble, you need to rumble. Not with them, but spiritually, you need to refuse to give up on that situation. Say, you know what, I'm out. If you're going to doubt, I'm out. And it says, in this wilderness, your bodies will fall, every one of you 20 years old and more, who is counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. What causes grumbling? Unmet expectations. You had expectations of something, but you had no follow through on what you expected. You just expected it to happen by magic. It happens when we expect something to go a certain way and it doesn't. Listen, here's the problem. We expect something to go a certain way, and instead of expecting God to lead the way, we have an expectation of a certain way that it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen the way we planned, we bail on the idea. We bail on the promise. But sometimes, if not often, God will bring your blessing from another direction that you're not expecting. So when I talk about expectation, I'm talking about saying, God, I expect you to lead me. I don't expect them to do for me. I expect you to lead me. And God will lead you to the them that you're hoping will help you, if in fact there is a them. This one's big. You have a victim mentality. Grumblers have a victim mentality. Nothing good ever happens to us. We're the victims of growing up in a community that didn't help us, that didn't challenge us. Everybody has a story. We all have a story. We have, and that story includes people that either helped us or discouraged us. We have stories of what happened to us instead of what happened for us. If you're alive today and you're sitting here or you're watching, you are an overcomer, or you wouldn't be watching and you wouldn't be sitting here. Now, to what degree or what level you overcome, that may be different. But the fact is, whatever happened to you didn't overtake you, or you wouldn't still be alive. So now what you have to do is stand up and overcome that which wants to overtake. And you can live in the past, you can see the giant before you, or you can see the promise of God beyond you. And then a discontented heart is another thing. And grumbling dishonors God. What do we do? Here's what I'm going to tell you do, and this will be worth noting. And I had this thought. It happens every Saturday night. God just messes with me. So I'm about to go to bed last night, and I started Googling. And I said, God, this is what I want you to do. And I'm going to do this. I haven't even told Susan yet, so don't tell her. But I thought, we're all tempted to grumble. Refrigerator's not working. Dishwasher went out. Somebody backed into my car. I got laid off. Somebody got promoted in front of me. Grumble, 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 grumble. And I've done this, but I've not done this the way I want to do it. So go get some sticky notes. Just order some off Amazon. That way you don't even have to go get them. And they'll be here in 5 minutes. But write down, see, gratitude confronts grumbletude. When you grumble, what do I do to overcome the grumble? Get grateful. The minute you start getting grateful, the things that you grumble about will begin to fade in your life. Sticky note, God, today I'm grateful for life. I'm grateful for salvation. I'm grateful for peace. You say, I don't have any peace. Be grateful that it's coming. You get up. It's not what you have. It's what you believe you can have that matters. It's what Jesus promised that matters. And he said, I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind on me. So I am grateful today for peace, God. I am grateful for love. I'm grateful for joy. I'm grateful for mercy. I'm grateful for grace. I'm grateful for health. You're sicker than a dog. I'm grateful for health. And listen, people say, well, people die. Yeah, guess what? And they don't want to come back. Everybody thinks this thing, death, is so bad. Yeah, it's bad because we miss people. But let me tell you, if you're born again, there's not a person in heaven that would want to come back and even visit you. They love you, but it's like, hey, hey, this is a one-way trip now, baby. You come to me. I ain't coming back to you. This is glorious, and I want you to come to me. So now all of a sudden, you say, but isn't that hypocritical? It's not hypocritical to declare the promises of God. If you go around and say, I'm sick, I've been sick for 3 weeks. I've been healing for 3 weeks. By his stripes, I was healed. And you keep, what? You say, well, what if it never happened? Look, here's the deal. You can't lose declaring the word of God, and this will be a secular way to put it. Be positive, quit being negative. Quit talking about your problems and talking about God who conquered the problems, and he who is in you can do more than you can think, ask, or imagine according to the power that works in you. You release power when you open your mouth. You give power to your problem, or you give power to your God. You empower your problem by talking about your problem. Your problem starts out, and I know I probably shouldn't use this word, but I'm going to because I'm old enough. You start out as a midget, and you grow into a giant. I don't know if it's a dwarf now, undersized. I don't know what you call that stuff. I mean, it is what it is, okay? You're short people. I worked with a short guy when that song came out, Short People Got No Reason. I wasn't very saved at the time, so I constantly rubbed it in his face. Well, you got no reason, shorty. And now that I'm saved, I wish I could go back and tell Ralph, I'm sorry. You couldn't do anything about being a munchkin. Christmas, though, we'll use you as an elf on a shelf. Okay, so. I know it's wrong on so many levels, but it's fun. So don't hold it against me. I know somebody will have lunch. I can't believe he said that. Come next week and you won't believe I said that either. Something else. Every week I give you something I can't believe. He said that. And the last thing is gossip. And folks, let me tell you something. Gossip is a poison. It is a poison. Now, you're not only upset about what's not happening to you. Since it's not happening to you, you're going to make sure it doesn't happen for other people. If you're going down, here's the mentality of a gossip. If you don't treat me right, I'm going to make sure I don't treat you right. Well, then treating someone right is a perspective. It's not a fact. You don't know if somebody's treating you right or not. There were times, looking back, I thought people treated me wrong, and what they did was they did me a great favor in hindsight that they didn't allow me to do something I wanted to do. Because God had something better than what I wanted, and they were in tune to God enough to say, no, you can't do that. And then God comes along and says, the reason they told you that is because I had something better for you. But gossips can't handle that. Gossip can be defined as information about the behavior or personal life of another person or other people, often without full truth revealed or known. God's word warns us to stay away from people who gossip and guard our words when we speak about them or their others. People will tell half-truths. And let me tell you what a half-truth is, a full lie. It's funny, you know, back when I was a kid, we called certain things a fib. It sounded better than a lie. A fib. You're a fibber. But then we upgraded that when I got older to you lie and you're a liar. In other words, we try to minimize the impact of something that we've done or something that's gone wrong. And in 2 Corinthians 12:20, it says, for I'm afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. So look at all the other words that gossip fits into here. A category that is nasty, dirty, and filthy. and you talk about people like you have facts about those people, and you don't, you have a feeling, not a fact. And let's just think for a moment. You say, well, I have some facts. Well, you know what? If you look in the mirror, you do have some facts, and you got some about you too. So when you talk about somebody else, all you're really doing is destroying your own life more than theirs. Because whatever you sow, you reap. You sow negativity, you sow disparaging remarks about someone, you tell lies about them or half-truths, and it destroys the blessing of God on your life. You think you're destroying their blessing? Let me tell you, the minute you lie about someone, you will not destroy their blessing. Even for a moment, there might be a pause because of your gossip. God will take care of the person being gossiped about, and you will reap the harvest of your words. I like that. That was worthy of applause, and y'all missed it. Ephesians 4:29, it's impossible. Oh, no, here we go. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. It's impossible to curse someone and expect God to bless you, because you're the one sowing the seed. It's funny how we see people that we don't want to see, run into people we don't want to run into. Hey, great to see you, liar. Now, they don't know you're lying. They think it's awesome. Then the next line that comes out, we need to get together for lunch. And you're going, I don't even want to see you right now. But because you lied and said, great to see you, they take that as, well, let's get together. So, well, what do I do? Say hello. And then you can ask, how are you doing? Not that you care. But at least you're not lying. Well, gotta go. You didn't say it was great to talk to you. Gotta go. So if I ever see any of you that's going on, you'll remember this message. Say, really wasn't glad to see me. You're right. I didn't tell you I was. I mean, I oftentimes people tell me how many friends they have. I say, well, you're doing better than Jesus. He had 12. And then he only took 3 friends to the top of the mountain. So anybody, I feel sorry for anybody who has 30 friends. You're doing better than Jesus. Jesus is like, I don't want that many. I love you. I'll give my life for you, but I'm hanging out with 3. See, sometimes we measure a blessed life by how many people think we're wonderful. Most people don't think you're wonderful. They're just insecure and want you to make you believe you're wonderful. I hate to rain on your parade. This is the gospel according to Mark. No, I'm just trying to help you, because so many people think that the blessing of God, it happens because you have a majority vote that people think you're great. You don't need 50 people to think you're awesome or that you've done a great job. You measure your life against the word of God, not the opinions of man. If somebody looks at me and says, I can't believe you're blessed, I say, well, you ought to believe it. How'd you do it? Well, I obeyed God. I obeyed God. Well, I can't. I mean, I saw you, and I deal with it, pilgrim. Talk to the hand, because the face don't even want to understand. See, there's a boldness that comes that has to happen to get to the blessing of God. You will not get there with everybody applauding you. You will not possess the blessing of God without criticism, without confrontation, without gossipers and grumblers and complainers. You will not get to that blessing easily. That's why I'm warning you about the obstacles. You've got to overcome these, even get on the track. And I'll close with this. I was given the gift of driving a NASCAR at the Texas Motor Speedway. It was a training session that they provide, and it's fairly expensive. Some guys bought it for my birthday. And you go to this class, and they start telling you all the things that you cannot do in order to cross the finish line. And one of them was, if the car dies before you get out of the pits, because it's a standard, it's a stick, And telling this generation that it's a stick is like telling them what a landline is. It's a car that you have to shift. And they said, if you can't get out of the pits, if it dies, you just lost everything. So your first obstacle was, and I grew up racing, so it wasn't that big a deal, but there were people that were scared to death because it was the first obstacle they had to overcome to get on the track and then finish. In other words, if you're going to finish, there are going to be situations that are going to make you want to quit and make you stop believing. And the first thing that'll happen, some good, well-meaning, religious person in your family will pick this message apart. Well, my pastor said, life and death's in the power of tongue. Boy, that just drives religious people crazy. You know why? Because it doesn't put all the responsibility on God. God's not a butler. God's not a magician. God told us how to possess what he wants us to possess. He gave clear instructions, 66 books. Yeah, I wish it had only been 20, but he knew we were going to be slow. And that we needed a lot of clarity of instruction. People lay at home, not worship God, don't give to God, don't serve God, and expect God to show up. Let me help you out with something here. God will show up and tell you to get up. Well, God doesn't bless me. What are you doing to get the blessing? I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. What are you doing to overcome your brokenness, disgustedness, and bustedness? I know that's not a word, but where I come from, we made up words. Understand, the reason I challenge you is many people will complain the rest of their life about lack, and because they talk about lack, they will live in lack. When you start talking about what God's going to do and what you're doing to acquire what God wants you to acquire, it will change everything. When I give, I always pray, God, thank you that you promised me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. This will come back to me. When somebody gives something to me, I say, can I pray for you? God, I ask you to take the seed that's being sown into my life, and I pray that you bless them because they've honored you and obeyed you, and I thank you that you're going to come and make this good, and you promised them. You say, you're cray-cray. I ain't cray-cray. That's why you're here today, Day. This is going to help you. But listen, there's not a great football team, basketball team, baseball team, any team in the world that is great because they just sat at home and said, when are the Olympics? Yeah, we'll show up. No, for 3 years, 4 years, these people work for 4 years to finish something in a minute and a half. And if at the end of a minute and a half, their score is not big enough or their time's not good enough, they lose. And they spent 4 years in a minute and 30 seconds, it's done. That's courageous. That's respectable. Spend your time doing what you need to do for the moment that God wants to do something for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you that for all you do through us. And thank you for all that you do in spite of us. God, I pray that you would make this word stick today. What's beyond us is not beyond us if you're with us. But we see it as beyond us. And may we see that which is beyond us as coming toward us as we go toward it. With every head bowed, every eye closed, what was beyond me at one point was the fact that I could be saved, that God could save someone like me. But one day I decided to reach out beyond myself to a God that is infinite, no beginning and no end, and I gave him my life. And today I challenge you, what looked like beyond was beyond you. Your salvation, your peace, your joy is right now upon your tongue. And I want all of you to pray this with me. Say, Father God, thank you so much for loving me so much that you gave your only son to die on the cross for my sin. Jesus, thank you for giving your life for me. Today I give my life to you. I repent of my sin, and I declare today I am saved. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to text the word saved to 405-500-1310. Follow the process as you get to that. Just text the word saved, and it will kick back to you information. All right? Do that. If you're in-house, obviously we have a prayer team to the left of the stage in a moment. Go tell them, hey, I gave my life to Jesus today. This time, I want to receive our tithes and offerings. That's about the 20% I expected. Listen, I want you to know I deeply care about your life. I wouldn't be here if I didn't. This is just not something you do. This is something you're called to do. And I want to challenge you to be a giver, a tither. If I could just get people to believe that God will not let you go busted. It'll look like it sometimes. Where is it coming from? Man, I don't know what I did that. Wish I hadn't given it. All those thoughts come, but just say, I'm going to obey God. You can do that several ways. You can give by the QR code behind you. Put your smartphone on that. It'll lead you to the giving platform. You can put in a debit card, a credit card. You can text the word give to 405-546-2226. Again, it's the same response. You can set it up, and you can do it however you want. It's very simple. You can give on your way out. You can mail it to 5821 Northwest Expressway, 73132, right here in Oklahoma City. Or, if you want, you can go to our website, mosaicokc.church/give, all right? I'm going to ask our prayer team to come to the left of the stage. A couple of things I want to remind you of before you leave is baptisms will be at 9:30 on Easter Sunday, 9:30. So if you want to be baptized, please sign up at the information kiosk and say, I want to be baptized, 9:30 Sunday morning, okay? Easter Sunday morning. So that's 2 weeks from today. Please, please, please do that, all right? It's something that we need to do to identify with Christ. It's very, very important, all right? So please do that. If this is your first time here, we have a gift for you at the Welcome Kiosk. Stop by and pick it up. And if you want to serve, and we've been adding servant leaders a lot lately, I'm thankful for that because we need you. Text the word serve to 405-500-1310 and fill out the digital response, and we will have someone contact you to get you plugged in. Driving a golf cart, really this time of year you want to be out there and doing that. We'll even get some golf balls to put on there to make you feel like you're on the course. You can usher, you can do a lot of things, greet, a lot of things you can do. We want to get you involved. Okay, let's stand. We're going to go out with a shout of hallelujah on three, because that's what we do. One, two, three, hallelujah.
Hello, this is Pastor Mark Crow. I just want to take a quick moment to thank you for joining us online. We hope you have a blessed week this week and get to be a blessing to those around you. I want to invite you to join us at Mosaic Church OKC next week at 9:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. or join us online. God bless you.